Welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile. The calendar has finally flipped to December, and through the first 20 games of the season, the Bulls are 6-14. 6-14, it's been a pretty ugly start. I know many Bulls fans expected a lot more, especially with a softer beginning to the schedule, if you will. But things haven't really come into fruition, and there's a few reasons why. We know that Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen really haven't played up to their potential consistently. Jim Boylan has had a rough go here in his first full season, and there's been some questions about how management has handled some of this. And of course, we'll get into all of that during today's episode. First, though, I want to thank two podcasts for having me on last week. You might have noticed that we didn't have an episode of the Rebuildable Podcast, but I did appear on two podcasts, and I encourage you to check out the episodes and listen to some other ones that they have. The first podcast I was on last week was the Bully Pulpit Podcast. Had a great discussion with Gary and Ryan over there, so be sure to check it out. Again, that's the Bully Pulpit Podcast. The other podcast that I was on was the Chicago Hot Sauce Podcast with Derek Briscoe. That discussion was very, very lively, and you hear me call Jim Boylan a talking testicle, I believe, or a testicle in a suit. I've been using that very frequently, and we'll get into Jim Boylan, of course, a little later here, but very gracious to both those podcasts. Again, that's the Bully Pulpit Podcast, the Chicago Hot Sauce Podcast. Check out the episodes that I was on. Also, check out their other episodes. They have some good guests on. They have some great conversation about the Chicago Bulls. And last week, when I was on both those podcasts, we talked a lot about Jim Boylan, talked a lot about Lauri Markkanen, talked a lot about this rough start to the season. And even through all of last week, the same type of questions remain, and the same heartache, the same issues remain. And how did we get here? It's the question I keep asking myself, because we had so much optimism coming into this season. And it was measured optimism. Nobody thought this was a title contender or anything. Nobody thought this was a team poised to make a deep playoff run. But we certainly thought this would be a team that could compete for the playoffs. I think there was at least a good portion of Bulls fans who thought this could be a team that could get into that 32 to 38 win total, maybe if all things broke right, got anywhere from like 40 to 45 wins, and was competing for a playoff spot, at least competing for a playoff spot, making it interesting, kind of like last year's Sacramento Kings. I think that's a really good comparison, a lot like that, where you're sort of knocking on the door all season, but eventually those other teams in the conference just pull away. Now, mathematically, they're technically still in it. At 6-14, they are in the 12th spot in the Eastern Conference. And it's not too hard to get into that 8th spot. That 8th spot right now is manned by the Orlando Magic here on December 1st at 7-11. So, right now they're on a West Coast kick. One of the first games in the West Coast trip was against an undermanned Golden State Warriors team led by Draymond Green and a bunch of scrubs. And the Chicago Bulls managed to lose that game by double digits. Then they followed up, of course, by going to Portland and having Carmelo Anthony make a resurgence again against them. And there's just been some disturbing trends going on. I think, you know, you all know it. All you Bulls fans, whether you're casual, you're religiously watching the team, the same issues persist from that opening week of the season. We have uneven play from one of the top players on the Bulls. He's supposed to be one of the top players on the Bulls, Lauri Markkanen. That can't happen for this team to go where they want to go. And I feel like a broken record constantly saying this. But whether it's injury or lack of aggression or a combination of all of it, you know, him being hurt, plus the fact that he's just not an aggressor on the floor, is causing a lot of problems. You know, and I understand, like, Big Dave Watson came on a few weeks ago, and he brought this up, and he makes a great point, that the league has started to figure out some of the low post moves or some of the moves that Laurie makes when he goes to the basket. I totally get that. But at the same time, there are just moments where you see him camping out the three-point line, camping out from the top of the key, not really getting himself involved in the offense, kind of letting Zach do his thing or just standing off to the side while other guys are making the offense flow. Some of the issues that we've seen with this team offensively, you know, we've seen some of the offensive ratings dip down since the start of the season. There seems to be moments where they get out of a rhythm. And I noticed that it happens, it seems like, when another team gets on a run. Defensively, they slip the bowls. But then, offensively, it's almost like they go into a hero ball mode. They don't have that same rhythm that they come into a game with. Once the other team punches them, they don't have that counterpunch. They just kind of sit there and take it. And there's all this issues that we're seeing defensively, too, with crashing the pick and roll a bit too much, which seems to be a Jim Boylan recipe. And again, I want to dive into Jim Boylan a little bit later too, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. But to get back to the issues sort of happening with Laurie and other players, it's concerning. The two guys that you're really relying on to get you to that next step aren't performing at their peak ability. And you have to see it. You do have to see it eventually. I hope that Laurie breaks out of a funk. I hope that Zach LaVine gets to a point where he's playing in rhythm. And maybe with Otto Porter back on the floor at some point, it could help. But you kind of expect those two to perform without having to have some type of glue guy next to them. They should be able to perform and perform together. I think that's the craziest thing to me is when these two are on the floor together, there's issues that persist. Here's a good example of this. If you go back to when the Bulls beat the Pistons on November 20th, Lauri Markkanen scored 24 points. It was his best performance since opening night by far. He shot almost 50% from the field. Zach LaVine in that same game had 5 points. All right, on the flip side, if we go back to the game against the Hornets on November 23rd, when Zach LaVine had his 49-point outburst against the Hornets, including that crazy game-winning 3-point shot. In that same game, Lauri Markkanen had 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting. And this is something that I think, as a Bulls fan, you have to monitor pretty closely. Because we still don't have a good sample size of these two playing well together. We have some games from February of last year and sprinkled in through various moments last season, but it hasn't been a consistent showing, really, in the long-term outlook of this team. And, of course, that's what we do here on the Rebuildable Podcast. We try and look at the big picture. I don't know if these two together can be cornerstone pieces that you can build with. I think it's going to be one or the other. Either it's going to be Zach or it's going to be Laurie. Now, here's where the issue lies, though. Right now, Lauri Markkanen is giving you nothing. Next to nothing. It's a little too inconsistent. There's moments where, you know, we're looking at the box score. He's got 9 points. He's got 8 points. You know, 3 points. You can't live with that. If this is somebody that you expect to be a key piece moving forward, he can't have nights like that. Now, I tend to think that this has to do with injury, has to do with probably something lingering. And if I'm the Bulls, Michael Wilbon said this, and I'm not the biggest fan of Michael Wilbon's opinions, of course, from ESPN, pardon the interruption. But he said this on an appearance with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, that if Lauri Markkanen's hurt, it's best that somebody within the Bulls organization leaks that out. Because you need to let people know that he is trying to gut it out right now. You know, and I'm hoping that's the case. I really am. Because if he's just not playing well and he's in a mental funk and just in a complete funk offensively, that's a concern to me. It really is. Because if this is how he's going to play, you know, you didn't expect him to be Danilo Gallinari or, you know, Andrea Bargnani. You expected him to be even a poor man's Kristaps Porzingis or a poor man's Dirk Nowitzki. Like, that's what you need from Lauri Markkanen. Nobody said he had to be a number one, but he had to be a damn good number two or a damn good number three. Right now, he looks like a skittish number three or a number four with the way he's playing, because it's just too inconsistent. You can't have one of your best players on the floor shooting poorly, shooting close to 26, 30%, and not putting in, you know, at least 18, 20, 25 points a game. That just can't happen. In order for this rebuild to work, you need that to move. Same with Zach LaVine. You know, Zach LaVine, there's times where he puts up a lot of points, and it's just because he's taking a lot of shots and he turns into a black hole on offense. But we've seen some nights where even he's shooting poorly, and he's only getting you 8, 12, 14 points. This was a guy that, before the season started, I said would be, you know, near the top of the league in scoring, averaging 25, 26 points a game. That's going to be really hard for him to get to now. You know, this is, though, something that it has to be concerning to Bulls fans. Now, could they benefit with just one of those guys being here? And if you're the Bulls, especially Garpax, if you're management, are you considering, if this thing goes south as we head towards Christmas and we get closer to when a lot of these restrictions get lifted on certain players, are you thinking of looking at what you can get for one of these guys? And I'm kind of curious which one yields the best trade package. Right now, it might be Zach LaVine that yields you the best trade package, because you at least know that he is a top flight scorer, probably could be a top six man on a championship contending team like the Lakers or Clippers, probably could be, you know, a really good starter on a playoff team. But Lauri Markkanen is the one that right now, I think if you tried to put a trade package out there for, I don't know if you'd get a lot right now. I really don't. You might get one future first. I mean, I don't know. It's tough to gauge him because we don't know what his performance is. And some of it is incumbent on your head coach. I really believe this too. And I want to get to Jim Boylan. I want to put the crosshairs on Jim Boylan right now. Let's go back. And one example that I like of how coaching can affect a player. Let's go back to the year 2008-2009. And there was a guy that was a really talented two-way player. His name is Luol Deng. And Luol Deng is now a revered Chicago Bull. I think a lot of Bulls fans respect Luol Deng for all he did for the franchise, all he did when he was here in the city of Chicago. But there was a point where Luol Deng was pegged as a soft, inefficient player and a timid player offensively. And that was around the time of Vinny Del Negro. When Vinny Del Negro was the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, he didn't seem to know how to get Luol Deng going. You know, he would have him just kind of floating out right around the baseline and just kind of being a guy, just standing somewhere on the floor. Let Derek do his thing, and Luol just kind of float around. When Tom Thibodeau came in 2010, for that 2010-11 season, he reestablished what Luol Deng's skill set was, and that was slashing of the basket. And he moved him out to the three-point line. And Luol Deng thrived. And Luol Deng went from a guy averaging somewhere around 15, 16 points a game to a 18, 19-point-a-game scorer and a much more efficient player offensively. And he also ended up thriving defensively. And I wonder, if you look at Jim Boylan right now, is he really getting the most out of these guys? And I think based off of what we're seeing, the answer is no. He's not getting the most out of his roster. He's not getting the most out of Lauri Markkanen. He's not getting the most out of Zach LaVine. He's not putting them in the positions they need to be in. He's not staggering the rotations enough to make sure that Lauri maybe gets in with that second unit more often to get easier baskets. Maybe not getting Lauri jump-started early in ball games to get him going. Not getting Zach LaVine involved with the second unit at times to get him going, to make him a spark plug. There's ways that you can make these two play well, even if they might struggle together on the floor at times, or, you know, they're struggling to get their shots. You as a head coach have to find ways to get your best players going. And it seems like Jim Boylan is so hell-bent on making sure that his rotations and his style work so much. His defensive philosophies of crashing the pick and roll, his offense of multi-ball handler systems when he's got two guys that, you know, need to be in more of a rhythm. There just seems to be a disconnect with the talent on the floor and what Jim Boylan's trying to do. In the NBA, you can't do that. In the NBA, you have to find a way to make your players thrive, because at the end of the day, it's about making sure that your players are always getting in the right spots and in the right situations. Talent trumps all. And what drives me nuts, I look at this Bulls roster, they're much more talented than what we've seen the last couple of seasons. There's no doubt about that. And I really believe, and maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm just delusional, I really believe that with a better head coach, like a Monty Williams, like a Luke Walton, you know, you name the name, Dave Jaeger, one of those guys, that this team would be in a much better position. They'd be at 500 or above 500. That I can assure you, because I believe that good head coaches would find a way to make both Zach and Lowry better players than they are right now and put them in positions to succeed. And what concerns me is, for some reason, John Paxson, Gar Forman, the Reinsdorfs bought into Jim Boylan. And I still don't understand how they did. I think they got caught up in the fact that after that mutiny that happened in December 2018, I think they got caught up in the wave that happened in February, the fact that some of the players started to buy in a little bit more to Jim, or at least started to had more of a friendlier relationship with Boylan. And that's great, but at the end of the day, you need to have a coach that understands how to manage a locker room, how to manage a roster. Because, yeah, there might have been some moments last year, but you do see it now. That some of these players, they might respect him enough, but do they always seem to buy in? Because we're seeing the same thing over and over and over again. Defensive lapses, offensive lapses. And that usually comes from a lack of trust, a lack of faith. And I wonder what Gar Paxson and the Reinsdorfs are thinking now. So we know that John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf were on the road trip, at least early on. I know they were out there for the Warriors. I don't know if they're still there. But I wonder what was running through their mind when they watched an undermanned Golden State Warriors team beat a full-strength Bulls team, or a near-full-strength Bulls team. And I wonder how they felt when they saw a Portland Trail Blazers team that had come to the United Center, kicked the snot out of your team, had an aging Carmelo Anthony, you know, run roughshod all over Lauri Markkanen, have a repeat performance almost a week later. I wonder how they felt. And I wonder if they thought, we might have made a mistake here with Jim. Now, it would have been nice after that Golden State game and definitely after that Portland game that you would have seen a change. Because at the end of the day, yeah, Jim Boylan signed a 3-year contract. I get that. But he is one of the lower paid coaches in the league. Getting rid of him is not going to cost you that much money. It just won't. And I wonder what it would take to move on from Jim Boylan at this point. I think it goes to the other question. I brought up, you know, I wanted to touch on the roster. I wanted to touch on Boylan. I think it's really important to touch on management and touch on even ownership. Because even if you move on from Jim Boylan, what's really changing here? Like, there's an expression that you're changing deck chairs on the Titanic. And I kind of feel like that applies here. Yeah, you get rid of Jim Boylan. But do you really trust John Paxson and Gar Forman, if you believe Gar Forman still has power? And we'll get into a report about Gar Forman in a little bit. But do you really trust John Paxson and the brain trust of the Chicago Bulls to get it right? I mean, they've made some good coaching hires. They've had, what, 5-6 cracks at hiring coaches throughout their 16-year run. They've hired some really good ones. Scott Skiles, Tom Thibodeau. But do you really think the same brain trust that hired Jim Boylan is all of a sudden going to say, oh, we need to get somebody more established? We need to bring in an actual head coach. Why now? And if so, why couldn't they have done that and done a coaching search at the end of the season? You know, there's a benefit to having a coaching search. And I love when people say, oh, well, coaching doesn't matter. You know, they knew who they wanted. Well, what's wrong with doing a coaching search? Because during a coaching search, you might find somebody who's a diamond in the rough. I like to use an NFL analogy. when the Pittsburgh Steelers were doing a coaching search many years ago after Bill Cowher retired. They went into it thinking they were going to hire either Russ Grimm, Ken Whisenhunt. You know, they thought that even Ron Rivera was a sexy name out there. They talked with Mike Tomlin to fulfill the Rooney Rule. And if you're from the States, you'll understand this reference if you follow the NFL. When they interviewed Mike Tomlin, they were blown away and changed their mind immediately and hired Mike Tomlin to be their head coach. And he is still their head coach today. And that was almost 12 years ago. He is their head coach still today. You know, and even when you have somebody in mind during a coaching search, you might still learn something when you talk to other candidates. You might learn how another team scouts. So let's say you interview an assistant on Greg Popovich's staff, an actual real assistant, not a crazy testicle like Jim Boylan is. You interview somebody on Greg Popovich's staff. You interview somebody on the Boston Celtics staff, on Doc Rivers' staff, whoever it is. It gives you the chance to pick their brains to see what are those teams doing. You know, maybe it's somebody with a young developing team like the Sacramento Kings. You interview a coach there and say, so what are you guys doing to develop your roster, to get the most out of your players? And you're learning something new so that you know, even whoever we hire, if it's not the guy we're talking to now, can we find a way to implement some of these things they're bringing up? That's why doing an actual coaching search has merit. Even if you know who you want to hire, it still helps to pick brains of people throughout the league and learn how other teams are doing things and seeing how you can improve your process. And I feel like the Chicago Bulls are like that kid who puts their hands up to their ears and just shouts, la, 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 la. They don't want to know what's wrong. They don't want to hear that they're doing things wrong. I know Bloggable, we're not associated, by the way. We're Buildable and Bloggable, two different entities. But I know Bloggable, some of the writers there, Jason Pitt, Ricky O'Donnell, they've brought up Doug Collins before. Now, I respect Doug Collins. I have a soft spot for Doug for some reason. But they bring up a good point that sometimes the Bulls hire people or bring people in that sort of have the same thoughts and enable them. And like Doug Collins is one of those guys that is in lockstep with John Paxson on a lot of stuff. And so it's almost like they brought Doug in to sort of just reassure them and tell them, oh yeah, what you're doing is great. What you're doing is fine. And there's moments where I do kind of see that. If the Bulls let Jim Boylan go, are they just going to bring in another person that sort of falls in line with what they do? You know, they don't want to rock the boat with another Tom Thibodeau. Are they just going to bring in another yes man? And, you know, we saw a report, and I wanted to get to this. We saw a report from the Chicago Sun-Times last week. Joe Colley reported that with the Bulls off to this slow start, that Jerry Reinsdorf is looking to have some heads roll. And the main target of his anger is Gar Forman. Now, it is important to consider the source. Joe Colley does seem to have a built-in vendetta at times against Gar Forman. So keep that in mind as you read that report or listen to some of the information I give from that report. But what he said is that Doug Collins came in, evaluated the organization, didn't really care for Fred Hoiberg that much, the way he handled the locker room, especially with the Bobby Portis situation a couple years ago. And Doug also just didn't like Gar Forman's sort of prickliness with people, the way that he comports himself, the way he's perceived around the league. And so Doug, I guess, has been lobbying to make a change there at the GM spot. And sure, I guess Gar Forman seemed to have more of his fingerprints on some of those teams a few years ago. A lot of people point to him as the reason that Fred Hoiberg was hired, the reason that the Bulls went with the Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, the three alphas team. Those were the Gar Forman-inspired moves. And even if that is true, I would point to the fact that John Paxson was still his boss as the vice president of basketball operations. Technically, he could have said no to all those moves. He could have weighed in a lot more on coaching hires and weighed in on personnel moves at that time. But a lot of the reports that we've seen the last few years since the rebuild took place with the Jimmy Butler trade is that John Paxson has really had his fingerprints more on this team since that day. But the reason that we're here right now at 6-14 is partially because John Paxson put a lot of faith in this head coach, in Jim Boylan. According to that report by Joe Colley, Jim Boylan was somebody that was favored by Doug Collins and John Paxson. So we sit here now at 6-14, and we've pointed those reasons, and we mentioned that the roster issue and Jim Boylan sort of are the root cause of why the Bulls right now only have 6 wins in 20 games as we flip here to December. My question is, what does firing Gar Forman really do? Like, if you end up firing Gar Forman because of this slow start, are you really changing anything? Gar Forman has essentially, from all the reports we've read, and from everything we've heard as Bulls fans, Gar Forman has literally been neutered the last 3 seasons, okay? The last 3 years, Gar Forman has had little say in the direction of the Chicago Bulls. In fact, he's just been a super scout. I've heard that term used by a lot of reporters that cover the Bulls, that he is essentially a super scout. So if he's a super scout, how does firing him really change things? I don't understand that. So as Bulls fans, my question is, Gar Forman really the pound of flesh you need to satiate you, the Bulls fan? All right. All these issues that have gone on, if it's Gar Forman who's sacrificed to you, is that really going to make you happy? I think that you Bulls fans are smart enough to know that Gar Forman isn't the reason the Bulls are in this position they're in right now. That it's systemic. That it's the full brain trust. Maybe Gar's part of it. But it's also John Paxson. And really, it's also your ownership group. Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf have sat there and just been satisfied enough right now. They're cool with you coming to the UC, having a good time, and maybe we'll win some games in the process. But you know what? At the end of the day, as long as you show up and have a good time and we sell tickets and we appease all those businesses and season ticket holders that come to the UC, I think in their mind, they think that's a good job. Now, why is there more pressure? Well, you might have seen some reports. Attendance at the UC right now is 6th best in the NBA. Now, that's still pretty high. But consider that in even some losing seasons, the Chicago Bulls were near the top, 1, 2, or 3. And now they're slipping. So that might have gotten their attention. And I wonder, if this thing really does spiral out of control, do the Reinsdorfs maybe look in the mirror and say, this has to change. This has to change. Fans are growing apathetic. Fans aren't coming like they used to. And we can give them Gar Forman all we want. We can give them Jim Boylan all we want. But do we need to bring a new set of eyes in here to really run this franchise, to really make the basketball decisions? That, to me, is the key. That's the key to all of this. The only way that this franchise comes out of this rut, this fog, this haze they're in, is if a new set of eyes comes in and really gives it a reboot that it deserves. Because we talked about the roster. In a vacuum, I really do think John Paxson made some good moves since 2017. But now, I think it might have to be somebody else that takes this from point A to point B. Because I really do believe if there's a different head coach and a different person at the top to set the organizational philosophy, I do think there can be some positive change with this group. I really do. They might be able to make some other savvy moves to help the team get where they need to go. And maybe, just maybe, attract that final piece to get them to a contending level. It's going to take a lot of work. But even if the Bulls do kind of work their way out of this funk they're in, and Lauri Markkanen improves, and Zach LaVine becomes a little more consistent, it might help them get to the playoffs. But I think there has to be some realization that in order to get where they really want to go and be a title contender at some point, there's going to have to be some more changes. And as Bulls fans, we have to hope. We have to hope the Reinsdorfs know that. One other thing, and I've brought this up, and I want to finish on this. I would not be surprised if Gar Forman does get fired as the sacrificial lamb in this whole process. But I also would not be surprised, Bulls fans, if John Paxson himself has had enough at some point. You know, I respect John Paxson. I actually really like John Paxson because I'm a little more nostalgic, I guess. You know, I grew up at the time when he was a player and was a hero in Chicago. He had that game-winning shot in the 93 finals. He was somebody who was a respected broadcaster. He came in initially as a GM in 2003 and really cleaned up a mess that Jerry Krause had left behind. And there's a lot that I respect about him for all the work he did. But I think he's reached his shelf life as an executive. And him being the competitor he is, it would not surprise me that if this team has another issue, just can't get over the hump it needs to get over, or it is another year where they have, you know, 25, 22 wins, that he might just say, you know what, I tried, but I need to go. And if that happens, if Gar gets fired, if Pax decides to step down, who do the Reinsdorfs bring in? Do they just look to somebody else within the organization? Do they go to the outside? And that would be an interesting scenario. It's one to think about, Bulls fans. If that does happen, what will the Reinsdorfs do? I think it's important. It's an important question to ask, and it's an important one to consider. So, for the sake of us Bulls fans, though, I hope that the Bulls at least play some competitive ball. It would be really nice. I hope they get out of this funk with the calendar turning. I hope to see Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen return to form, because even if you have to trade them, you want them at their highest value. You want them to be top players. You want them to be flirting with all-star appearances and playing at that kind of level. So I want to see that. I definitely do. And I know you Bulls fans also want to see that. So we'll be back, of course, next week. It was a really well-rested week last week with those guest appearances, again, on the Bully Pulpit and Chicago Hot Sauce podcast. Be sure to check those out. For the latest on the Bulls and the latest episodes of the Rebuildable podcast, check out our Twitter handle at rebuild_A_bull. You can check me out on Twitter at mgentile88. Gentile is spelled G-E-N-T-I-L-E. So I'm always giving you my thoughts on the team. And, you know, lately it's been a lot of just insults hurled Jim Boylan's way. I probably should stop doing that. I should probably be the bigger man there. So again, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.